Okay, let's finish up the sugya of Avodah Zarah Yasan. And again, for morning seder tomorrow, I would strongly recommend just going weiter in Gemara, blitzing through some Gemara, because the next sugya we're going to start is Mem Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. There's a lot of good stuff there, Zecher LeMikdash and Chadash, and whether you're the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, whether you're allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash at night, who builds the third Beis HaMikdash, all that interesting, fascinating stuff. So Mirz Hashem, we'll get to that next week. Let's finish up over Las Yasan, and we'll finish up. The last year will be just primarily based on this Tosfos that most of you saw, and I'll just try to make small points along the way and some major points that Rav Soloveitchik makes along the way in this Tosfos. So I don't think I'm going to have any great chidushim for you today. Not that I normally have great chidushim, but just go through the Tosfos. It says Tosfos, Avodas Yasan, let's read through it. This is why you need to make a bracha on the lulav before you take it. You have to make the bracha before you even pick it up in your hand. Because if you've already taken it in your hand, well, then as soon as you lifted it up, you're already yotze the mitzvah. Like the Gemara says explicitly on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara has that expression, that as soon as you lift it up, you're already yotze the mitzvah. Umihu lo mistaver klal. So the first, he starts out, okay, here's my statement. My statement is, you make the bracha before you pick up the lulav. Then two lines later, he's already at lo mistaver klal. It makes absolutely no sense to do what I just told you to do two lines ago. Why? Dehech yivarich lav. How could you make a bracha before you pick up the lulav? V'hu munach b'kli. If the lulav is sitting there in a kli, it's not even connected to you in any way. You only make a birchas mitzvah, you make a bracha of alachilas matzah when you're holding the matzah in your hand. So it's there already. It's ready. The mitzvah is ready to be done. You make a bracha of laniach tefillin when the tefillin is on your arm. All you got to do is pull the strap tight. So over here, how can you make a bracha before you pick up the lulav? The lulav is not even, it's not connected to you. It's not shaykh to you at all. It's munach b'kli. Hamar b'komet rabbi, the Gemara Menachos says, this is a good segue into our summer limud, for those who are going to be around during the summer. Summer starts June 13th here. We're going to be learning those dapim and menachos that relate to tefillin and tzitzis and whatchamacallit, mezuzahs. So tefillin meim asay mevarech lehem. The Gemara says, when do you make the bracha on your tefillin? Mishas hanocha ad shas kshira. From the time of the placement of the tefillin until the time of the tying of the tefillin. Now that alone, that's worthy of discussion. When we do menachos, we're going to have to discuss that line. What is kshira? What is the kshira satfillin? Just raise the point now. We're not going to get into it. But what is the kshira satfillin? So we would say tightening it because that's what we do. We make the bracha from sometime between the hanacha and the kshira. But what does kesher really mean? What does kosher really mean? It's tying the knot. So it sounds from the Gemara, just pasha reading of the Gemara, that you're supposed to untie your tefillin every day and retie them every time you put them on, which would mean you would have to know how to tie them also. But we have to. I guess when we get to Menachos, we'll work out that, what kshira means in this context. But let's assume that it means, over here for our purposes, that it means the tightening of the tefillin. Big fat question mark. When the mitzvah is not in your hand, you can't make the bracha. So Tosfos, without using the words, is raising the issue of over da over. That even though there is a concept over las yasin means you do it before, you have to make the bracha before the mitzvah, but there is a limit to that as well. It can't be too much before you do the mitzvah. If it's too much before the mitzvah, then the bracha isn't shaykh to the mitzvah. The bracha has to connect to the mitzvah. I can't make a bracha today and eat matzah tomorrow. If I can't make a bracha on Erev Pesach and eat matzah on Pesach. So the bracha has to be connected to the mitzvah. Now, what exactly the geder of over da over is also an interesting subject for debate. We're not going to, again, have a major discussion about it, but just to raise the issue. By Birchas Hananin, what's the halacha? If there's an apple in front of me on the table, and I make a bracha bari priya eitz, and pick up the apple and eat it, is that okay? So it's not ideal. The halacha Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to hold the food in your hand when you make the bracha. It's the old water fountain shaila. Should you turn on the water first before you make a bracha? But it's not eco-friendly, and it's not, you know. But maybe the food needs to be in front of you, needs to be there when you make the bracha, and not just in front of you. You need to be You need to be shaykh to it. You need to connect to it in some way. So is this the same geder? That it's just as it didn't lechachila, the bracha, but b'diavid, the halacha by Baruch Priya Eitz, let's say, by the apple that's on the table. If I make the bracha, and while the apple is on the table, so I say, oh, okay, that bracha didn't count. Let's try again. Take the apple in my hand, make another bracha, or I just rely on the first bracha that I made. So by Birchus Hananin, Pashut, I think, that you can rely on the first bracha that you make. You wouldn't go make a second bracha. The hefsek zman that it takes to pick up the apple is not considered enough of a hefsek zman to be a problem, to be a disconnect between the bracha and the mitzvah. So what would you say about the birchus mitzvah? Tosfos seems to say over here by birchus mitzvah, it's not shaykh klal. You can't. It can't be. That even absent any other option, you can't make a bracha while the lulav is on the table. Why is it not shaykh klal? Let's say a person didn't have hands. Would he not be allowed to make a bracha on the apple that's on the table? Possibly he would. I would think he would. I'm guessing he would. What else would he do? But, right, you wouldn't say he's pat from bracha. Why is this a kasha that it's not shaykh klal? Apparently, there's some deeper, stronger connection, one could suggest maybe, that there's some stronger connection that you need between the birchus mitzvah and the mitzvah, and the doing of the mitzvah, then you need by birchus hanan. At least one could make that argument. So that's also an interesting area for study, and that everything in this Tosfos relates back to what we've been discussing over the past few days. What is the idea of birchus mitzvah? Is it just a birchus hananin? Okay, if it's just a birchus hananin, whether you say like Rav Yosef Engel's version of that or of Shechter's version of that, but it should have to follow the same rules as birchus hananin. But if it's some form of birchus shevach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mekadesh us with mitzvahs, so then it would play with obviously very different rules. But if it's birchus hashevach kind of thing, then it should really go with rules that are more liberal than birchus hananin rules. Because the way birchus hashevach work, typically, is that really it's a praise for God that's always shayach. I could always praise God that he's malbish arumim. It's just the most important time to make the bracha. Malbish arumim is when I'm getting dressed, because that's when I experience that shevach. It's always okay to praise God that he's mapil chevle shena aleinai, uslumi alafapai. So it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this great gift called sleep. It just makes the most sense to say that bracha when you're actually going to sleep. So with birchus hashevach, there should be much more leeway in terms of how disconnected it can be from the actual mitzvah. By birchus hamitzvah, by birchus hananin, there should be much less leeway because it's clearly a matir on that food. It's not about the idea in general. So if you understand birchus hamitzvah, some sort of birchus shevach, it should give you a little more leeway. Unless you understand that it's not a birchus shevach, it's about being mitzari, like the ritva, being mitzarif, maisa, dibur, machshava, all those things, being mekadesh yourself, hachana. So then maybe it needs a better connection to the action than a birchus hananin would need. Okay, but that's room for debate. But anyway, what Tosfos is clearly formulating over here is that when you make a bracha over las yasan, it's got to be right before you do it. It can't be way before you do it. And if the lulav and esrog are on the table when you make your bracha, that's way before you do it. That's not okay. It has to be, or in Tosfos lashon, if it's in the kli, that's not okay. It has to be much closer to the mitzvah. But it's catch 22. Once you pick it up, you're already yotze the mitzvah. It's not over las yasan anymore, so you're stuck. There's no other mitzvah that you could really ask this about, that Tosfos could really ask this question about, because there's no other mitzvah that when you pick up, you're ready yotze. There's no other mitzvah of holding things. It's a very interesting thing, no? There's no other, yet you don't find any mitzvah of holding something. Mitzvahs are of doing something with that which you're holding, like eating them, like by matzah or by marar. You don't have mitzvahs of holding. By tefillin, it's not just holding, it's wrapping it on you, putting it on you, tying it on you. So it's just wrapping it around you, never just holding. So over here, that's what makes this mitzvah very unique. Rav Shechter points out in Eretz HaTzvi that if you're medayik in the Lashon of the Rambam, charoses, the mitzvah might be having it on the table. So if the mitzvah is having it, there wouldn't be that you don't run into this. If that's the geder of the mitzvah, that's even less than holding it, but you wouldn't run into this trouble of the birchus hamitzvah, because that would mean that you shouldn't have a birchus hamitzvah, because you only have a birchus hamitzvah when there's some sort of maisa mitzvah. Having it isn't a maisa at all. Holding is a maisa. So you have mitzvahs of having, and you have mitzvahs of doing, but a mitzvah of holding is entirely unique in all of Tarayag mitzvahs, as far as I know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why you can't just leave it on the table, and therefore it's not in the kli, and you're not holding it yet. So you leave it on the table, make a bracha.
Right, so is Tosos worried about it being in a kli, or he's just worried about that? It seems to me that he's not, the Tos could have figured that out, meaning it seems that he's not worried about it being in a kli per se, he's just worried about the fact that you have no shaychus to it. That in order to make the bracha, it has to be mezuman lefanav, and that's not called mezuman lefanav. It has to be already in your hands. Just like every other mitzvah that's done beguf, when you make a mitzvah of lekvah mezuzah, the mezuzah is in your hand already. You have to be holding it already. Apparently that's the rule. Once you're not holding it, it's too far removed from you. So that's the question I was raising before, that how that relates to Birch Sanen. Is that really generally considered too far removed in other areas of halacha? But Tosos makes that assumption. So one way to approach this Tosos, I didn't see if other Rishonim say this, that Rishonim could have said like you. They could have just said, who made this rule? Granted, by other mitzvah, why is it by other mitzvahs, by a mitzvah of matzah, I make the bracha when I'm holding it? Because then there's still something more that needs to be done to get the mitzvah. What the Birchsa mitzvah should be made the stage before the Kiyuma mitzvah. So it makes sense by matzah, the stage before the Kiyuma mitzvah is when I'm holding the matzah. The stage before the Kiyuma mitzvah of being Koveh the mezuzah is holding the mezuzah up by the tefillin, is having the tefillin right there ready to go. What's the stage before the Kiyuma mitzvah of lulav? It's having it on the table in front of you. So I don't know why this rule is true, but Tosus assumes that there is some sort of rule over here that if it's not in your hands, you can't make the bracha. I don't know why he makes that assumption that a dafka has to be in your hands to make the bracha. I don't know. I'm not aware of any limud in Shas that tells us this, that it has to be in your hand in order to make a bracha. It's clearly not just a din of the right before. Just do it right before. No, it's a din of having some actual physical connection to the mitzvah, which is. Again, it's unusual. I don't know where he gets it from, but that this is a very well known Tosus in Shas, and that's the kasha that Tosus asks. Now, truth is, where he gets it from probably is the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim pretty much asks Tosus' question. I didn't bring a Pesachim with me. Must be quoted in one of these marmakos. The Gemara in Pesachim. I think the Shach Zari quotes it. One of these Marma Kamos quotes it. The Gemara Pesachim and Daf Zayin talks about the text of various brachos. Should you make al? Should you make li? Right? What's the proper text for different brachos? So the Gemara says that when it comes to li, let's say li va'er chametz kuli amalo pligi, that's lahaba mashma. That li means something I will do. Al, when you use the lashon of al, it's machlokas. Marsav laba mashma, marsav meyakar mashma. That's machlokas. Asks the Gemara Pesachim, meisvei ha'osa lulav liatzmo. Person makes a lulav, so whether you make a bracha or not, whatever. Not latzeis bo. You take the lulav. Omer baruch hashem k'shem zanu al netilas lulav. You see that you make a bracha of al. So why are you making a bracha of al netilas lulav? When you are yotzi the mitzvah, so what does the Gemara say? Shaini hacha de beidna da agbe nafakbe. The reason you have to make al and not li means something you will do. Al might mean something you've already done. Why do we make al on lulav? The Gemara says because by the time you're making the bracha, you're already yotzi the mitzvah. Mi da agbe nafakbe. From the time you picked it up, you're already yotzi the mitzvah. So what does it sound like from that Gemara? What's the answer to Tosus Kasha? Tosus asks, I got a problem. You can't make the bracha before because it's too early. You can't make the bracha after because it's not over Las Yasa. What's the Gemara's answer? Sounds like the Gemara says, make it after. You can make it after. Because you couldn't make it before, and apparently there's a rule that it needs to be in your hands when you make the bracha, so make the bracha after. Not after, but during at least. During the mitzvah. The mitzvah's not over yet. It's still in your hands. Make the bracha during the mitzvah. So the Gemara explicitly says that you make the bracha, it tells you that you're supposed to make the bracha after you already got the mitzvah. So it is a little strange that Tosus has this kasha. It can't be the making bracha after because that's an over last yasin. Well, the Gemara says that's what you do. It's a Gemara in Pesachim that says that's exactly what you do. You make the bracha after. So how must Tosus understand that Gemara? Tosus himself deals directly with that Gemara later on, and he tells you that Gemara is talking about b'diavad. You made a mistake. Clearly, that's not the best thing to do. But because that's probably a common mistake, the Gemara says that we alter the Nusach HaBracha to accommodate that mistake. Crazy, no? The whole Nusach HaBracha of Al Netilas Lulav is to accommodate just in case you already got the mitzvah by the time you're making that bracha. But says Tosus, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to try to work out a way. One of my four suggestions, he's got four suggestions, try to work out a way to make the bracha before you get the mitzvah. in case you forget my four suggestions and you make a mistake and you don't make the bracha till you've picked it up, since that's likely to be a common mistake, so therefore they change the whole nusach ha-bracha to al. It's a wild reading of the Gemara. If I was reading the Gemara in Pesachim, I would have just said, good, so the Gemara says this is an exception. Over here you make the bracha after you do the mitzvah. What do you mean an exception? Where do we ever have exceptions that you make a bracha after you do a mitzvah? Not so crazy. Where do we have an exception that you make a bracha after you do the mitzvah? So the Gemara discusses explicitly. Tevila Sager. We do it by Tevila Sager. Make this an exception too. What's the big deal? Now Tosfos Pesachim over there asks, I don't get it. How could you make a bracha after you already yotze the mitzvah? Tosfos is like, again, the Gemara just says it's an exception. Tosfos, no, it can't be. Tosfos in Pesachim. Kivin denafa keichi varich al tzarich levarich over las yasan. Tosfos takes over las yasan so seriously that it can't have an exception. It can't be that there's an exception to the rule. So what does Tosfos answer? It's still a little bit over las yasan because you're going to do the nanuim. You're still going to shake the lulav a little more. So it's still a little bit over las yasan. That's Tosfos' answer in the, or you're still osik in the mitzvah, you still need to do nanuim akriyas halel. There's still other elements to the mitzvah that you haven't yet done. That's Tosfos in Pesachim. But Tosfos over here, again, taking the Gemara in Pesachim shalo kipshuto, I think, and saying that the Gemara in Pesachim is only talking about a b'diavad situation, he says we need to come up with a better reitza of how to take the lulav. So answer number one, v'shema mishayaschil litol lulav kodem sheyitol esrog mevarich v'hainu over la asyasan shema akfim zezes. So what's he saying? What's his idea? So idea number one. No, how did you read that? What? Take the lulav out of the esrog. So you take the lulav hadasim and aravos and just leave the esrog on the table. So how does it solve the problem? So it sort of depends how you understand the problem, right? If the problem was that the chefta shel mitzvah needs to be in your hand at the time that you're making the bracha, does this help? All the minim are ma'akvim zezeh. The chefta shel mitzvah is not in your hand when you're making the bracha. Part of the chefta shel mitzvah is in your hand when you're making the bracha, but that's not the chefta shel mitzvah. It's like if I have two partials of tefillin, you know, and I have the other two sitting on the table, I can't just make the bracha and then stuff the other two in. That's not what you have to do. You have to have the tefillin in your hand. You need the whole chefta shel mitzvah in your hand. Why does it help that part of the mitzvah? The answer seems to assume that there isn't such a din that the chefta shel mitzvah has to be in your hand. The din is a din of hefzik zman, of there should be some shaychus, there should be some connection. So this begins the connection, and it makes it a much shorter process of all you got to do is grab the esrog instead of make sure that you have the lulav and the esrog. But if it's din in hefzik zman, then why couldn't the whole thing be on the table? Meaning, hefzik zman by mitzvahs in general is always one step before you do the mitzvah. And by dalad minim, one step before is when it's on the table. By everything else, it's while you're holding it, but by dalad minim, it's while it's on the table. So it also seems to like say, it's a din in having a shaychus to it, but a shaychus that's only created through holding, but you don't have to actually be holding the chefzik shel mitzvah. Basically, whenever you have a tosus that has four answers, you got to figure out what's wrong with each answer. So you can see what the problem is over here. You're doing something that has halachically no substance. Holding three minim is nothing. You need the mitzvah's four minim. So you're not really holding the mitzvah in your hand. If there's really a din that you need to hold the mitzvah in your hand, you're not fulfilling that din. So maybe you could argue that's the weakness in the first answer of Tosfos. Second answer of Tosfos. Inami. Another suggestion. Lacha shenot al shneyam. You make the bracha after you're holding everything. Better to just hold one upside down and then you'll flip it. Because while you're holding one upside down, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. We learned that, right? We had that gemara that it needs to be held right side up. What's the advantage of this approach over the other? This is what we do, obviously, right? We hold our lulav upside down. We hold our esrog upside down when we make the bracha, and then we flip it right side up. That's what most of us do. So there are people that are knowing some of the other answers of Tosfos, but that's what most people are knowing, the second answer. So what's the advantage or disadvantage of this answer? So I think it goes back just, you know, thinking out loud over here. I think this goes back to what sensitivity we're trying to address over here. Is it a hefzik zman sensitivity or holding the chefta shel mitzvah in your hand sensitivity? Meaning, what was the problem with making the bracha before you picked the stuff up? Too much time will elapse? Or that you need to be holding the chafetz shel mitzvah? If the issue is a time issue, what takes longer? When you're holding an esrog, flipping it without dropping, right? Flipping it carefully, or when you have a table in front of you and the esrog is right there, just picking it up. Probably takes longer for most people to flip it, because you got to be careful not to drop it, and it's like a little uncomfortable. If it's on the table, you just pick it up, you grab it, you're done. So if the issue is a time delay issue, if that's what we're worried about, that it's too big of a time delay, then Tosa's first Eitzah is a better Eitzah. Have it on the table, have the Esrog on the table, keep the Luluv in your hand, bracha, grab it, very little time. But if the issue is you need to be holding the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah while you're making the bracha, well, as we just pointed out, the first answer doesn't really help you, because you're only holding 3 out of 4 minim. That's not the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. The second answer does help you, because the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah you're holding, the entire Chefetz Shel Mitzvah is in your hand. You're not doing the Maisa Mitzvah properly yet. The Maisa Mitzvah is to hold them upright. But the actual Chefetz, the object, the din in the Gavra, you're not doing, because the Gavra has to be holding them upright. But the din in the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, it's all right there. It's not a Gavra. The din in the Maisa is not being done, but the Chefetz is right there in your hands. So it could be that that's what the two answers of Tosfos are addressing. What is the problem? Is the problem in the time, or is the problem in the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, in holding the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, that it needs to be biyado? So those are the two answers that Achronim don't talk as much about, but I just thought maybe you could suggest something like that. Third answer gets a lot of press. Third approach. Even if you're going to hold it the right way, there's another way out. You could simply have kavana that you don't want to be yotze until after you make the bracha. Meaning, this is the famous idea of negative kavana. And Tosel says, why don't the Gemara think of this? I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Even though the Gemara says mitzvah saying shrichas kavana, you yotzei mitzvah even if you don't have kavana, even when you don't have kavana to do the mitzvah. Yeah, yotzei mitzvah, I have no kavana, but negative kavana, you can't force a kiyum mitzvah on me. If I have negative kavana, you can't force me to be mekayim the mitzvah. We discussed this at length earlier in the year when we were discussing mitzvah shrichas kavana. But that's the idea, that you can't force negative, when I have negative kavana, you can't force the mitzvah on me. Fractosos, why didn't the Gemara think of this on Daf Mem Beis, when the Gemara is trying to think of a way that you can take your lulav and go to a baki to learn? The Gemara had said that if the Mishnah says on Daf Mem Aleph Mem Beis, Rabbi Yossi says that if the first day of Yantiv is on Shabbos, and you forgot and you brought your lulav out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're pater, because you were Torah b'dvar mitzvah, you were Torah b'dvar mitzvah. Your mistake, you're not allowed to carry the lulav on Shabbos, but you were mistaken because you were trying to do a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yossi says you're pater. So the Gemara says that's only if you didn't walk out with it. But if you walk out with it, you're chayiv. So frankly, Gemara, why? Hamida adbei nafakbei. As soon as you pick it up, you've already been yotzei the mitzvah. So aren't you doing a mitzvah the entire time? So shouldn't it always be a tov b'dvar mitzvah? So it says, tells us, why didn't the Gemara think of a simple answer? No, you might have been holding the dalminim and not been doing a mitzvah. How? You're having kavana that I don't want the mitzvah. So you could have been holding the dalminim. So he says, yeah, the Gemara, it's not that the Gemara didn't think of that, it's we're talking about a guy who wouldn't have thought about that. We're talking about a guy who's taking his lulav and esrog to a baki to learn how to take them. He's not going to already know the halacha that if he has negative kavana, he could stop himself from doing the mitzvah. So the Gemara would have thought of that, but the guy that the Gemara is talking about isn't going to think about that. That's how Tosfos understands. So I don't want to spend too much time on having a discussion that we already had, but if you look in Rav Salvechik and Rashi Mashiurim on page Kuf Tzadi Hei, he discusses this concept of negative kavana a little bit more, and he says that L'chora, this Eitzah, of all the Eitzahs that we had so far, L'chora, this one's the best. Why is this one the best? Because all of the other Eitzahs, by the time you make the bracha, there's still something else you need to do before you get the mitzvah. Either pick up the last min, flip something over. This Eitzah is much better. You don't have to do anything. All your mindset changes. I'm having kavanah not to be yotzei until after I make the bracha. As soon as I make the bracha, my mindset is I want to be yotzei, and that's it. I don't have to do anything else. So it's the most avilas yasin. It's the most immediate before the mitzvah. So this lechora is the best etzah. How come no one else? How come the other answers don't like this etzah? So he says v'nir bibiuro. He says the biur adavar is as follows. What is the din avilas yasin? Is it a din that the bracha needs to come before the maisa mitzvah, or that the bracha needs to come before the kiyum ha-mitzvah? So very pashut. The other answers of the Gemara of Tosfos, the first two etzes of Tosfos, have you doing a maisa right after your bracha. This answer of Tosfos doesn't have you doing any maisa after your bracha. It just has you doing getting a kiyum ha-mitzvah right after your bracha. Because I'm a kayim the mitzvah as soon as I'm holding the dalminim. Big difference. So if you hold that main thing of a birchas mitzvah is that a birchas mitzvah is on a maisa mitzvah, so you're supposed to make the bracha right before you do an action, then the first two answers to Tosfos are much better. Because you're making the bracha, then you're flipping the esrog, you're picking up the esrog, you're doing a maisa. The bracha has to be chal on a maisa. But if you hold that a bracha can even be on a kiyum mitzvah, well, then this answer is much better, because it comes really, it's really over Las Yasim, it's really right before, and it's right before you get the kiyum. So why do the other two answers not like this answer? Because the other two answers don't think that a bracha could be on a kiyum mitzvah. They hold that a bracha has to dafka be on a maisa mitzvah. What's the raya that a bracha has to be on a maisa mitzvah? So he says, raya lekach, from the Gemara in Erevin that we discussed a while back. Gemara says, if you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana, you could put on several pairs of tefillin without violating Baltosif. Because if you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana, all you got to do is put on tefillin without having kavana to be yotzei, and you could put on 10 pairs of tefillin, it's not Baltosif, because you're not even kavana to be yotzei. So you're not doing the mitzvah many times. The mitzvah involves kavana. But if you hold mitzvah ain't shrichas kavana, then it's a violation of baltosif to put on several pairs of tefillin, even if you don't have kavana to be yotzei. So we asked the kasha back then, we'll just mention it again, what do you mean? According to this daya in Tosfos, even if you hold mitzvah ain't shrichas kavana, why can't you put on 10 pairs of tefillin and have dafka negative kavana, that I don't want to be yotzei the mitzvah? According to this daya in Tosfos, negative kavana works. Negative kavana will take away my ability to be Mekayim a mitzvah. So that's what Salvezha quoted from his grandfather, not Reb Chaim, from his other grandfather of Elia Feinstein, of Elia Prajner, who was also, I think, the grandfather of Rav Moshe Feinstein. As Rav Salvezha and Rav Moshe were cousins. I don't know if they were first cousins. Maybe they weren't. He wasn't the grandfather of both. Maybe he was Rav Moshe's uncle or something. I don't know. There was some very close family connection. But anyway, he quotes from Rav Elia Prajner that maybe the role of negative kavana in kiyum mitzvos is going to be different than the role of negative kavana when it comes to violating the iser of baltosif. That if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana, so then the kavana is part of the mitzvah, and without the kavana, you didn't do the maisa mitzvah at all. And therefore, if you put on 10 pairs of tefillin without kavana, you haven't done baltosif, because you haven't done the maisa mitzvah. Whereas if you hold mitzvah sein srichas kavana, when you're having kavana shalolatzeis, granted you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah, but the maisa mitzvah is still intact. It's still called a full-fledged maisa mitzvah even without the kavana. The maisa doesn't involve kavana. It's just kavana is a davar chitzoni that you need. If you hold ein srichas kavana, at least not to have negative kavana is an external thing that you need in order to get credit for the mitzvah. But in terms of the maisa, baltosif is in the maisa. Okay, we discussed this way back when. Fourth approach of Tosfos. Says Tosfos, second to last skinny line, inami mishum delo gamra mitzvaso ad acher nianua. And this is what Tosfos says in Psachim, that really it is over las yasan. You're allowed to make the bracha after you pick up the lulav, because you're not finishing the mitzvah until after you shake the lulav. That's exactly why we make Netilas Yadayim after you wash your hands, because we don't make a bracha until after the drying of the hands. So therefore, it's the same thing over here, because the mitzvah is not over until after you dry your hands. That's why you're not allowed to talk between washing Netilas Yadayim and drying your hands, because it's one maisa, it's one long maisa. A lot of people make that mistake. It's one of the bigger mistakes that people. It's a worse problem to talk after you wash before you make the bracha than it is to talk after you dried your hands before you make hamotzi. After you dry before you make hamotzi is really not nearly as big a deal as we make of it. Because you made the bracha and it's tilas yadayim already. There's no isser of being mafsik really so much between the netila and the eating, bedibor so much. This is just you need to watch over your hands, make sure they don't become a tunuf again, make sure they don't become dirty again. So we're worried that if you talk too much, you're going to forget to guard your hands in those 2 minutes in between when you wash. So we don't talk. But the bracha of al netilas yadayim is really on the netilas yadayim. Netilas yadayim is when you wash the hands. The niguv, okay, we make the bracha afterwards because the niguv is still part of the netila. But primarily the netila is the netila. So you can't be masik after you do the netilas yadayim before you make the bracha. The bracha's got to go on that netilas yadayim. It's got to be connected in some way. So that's a real problem. But anyway, that's our minhag that we make a bracha after the netila before the niguv yadayim. Because I'm reading Parakamet Sota Daso Lechol below niguv yadayim. And how do I know the niguv is part of the netila? Because you're not allowed to eat until you dry your hands. So that's his raya. So same thing as the nanuim of the lulav. That the nanuim are part of the taking of the lulav. And the niguv is part of the dry, is part of the netilas yadayim. Then he immediately rejects the comparison. Says no, the niguv is really part of the netila. Nanuim aren't really part of netilas lulav. Nanuim are just like an extra machshire mitzvah. Velo ma'akev, it's not ma'akev at all. So he says my raya is a bad raya, but I still like my svara. That's it. Normally when you reject the raya, he says, no, my raya is a bad raya. Niguv is a bad raya, but I still like I still like the idea that the nanuim are part of the process, and therefore you can still make the bracha before the nanuim. Even though the nanuim are less a part of the process of netilas lulav than the niguv is in netilas yadayim. One could have said the exact opposite. You could have said, no, nanuim is part of the kiyum of netilas lulav, but the niguv is not really part of netilas yadayim. What's his raya that the niguv is part of netilas yadayim? His whole raya that the niguv is part of netilas yadayim is from the fact that the Gemara says that if you don't dry your hands, then you can't eat. Oh, so you see, niguv is part of netilas yadayim. Is that a raya? It could just be that if you don't dry your hands, you can't eat because for whatever reason you're not allowed to eat with wet hands. Whether it's dinei derech eretz or afraid you're going to be metame something, whatever it might be, you can't eat with wet hands. But not that it's a din in the netila, that drying is a part of the netila. Who says? Maybe there's just necessity with wet hands. And this is what Rav Salvechik points out in the Rishima Shiurim, in page Kuf Tzadi Zayin. He points out that this seems to be a machlokas rishonim. Rashi and Sota sounds like that the iser to eat with wet hands ain't no din betaras netila sidayim. Eladin stadihu shalol lechol lechem maus ubazui mimei anetila. If you touch the bread with wet hands, what will happen to the bread? It will get soggy and gross. So it's a din in derech eretz not to eat with wet hands. It's not even a din in netilas yadayim. You just don't want to eat soggy and gross bread. So if the niguv is not part of the chelik of the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, so therefore, when should the bracha really be? The Gemara never says you make a bracha before the niguv after the netila. Tosfos says it. Tosfos says, oh, must be, since the niguv is part of the netila, that's why you make a bracha before the niguv after the netila. Gemara doesn't say you make the bracha after the netila. It's not Medina to Gemara. If Rashi is correct that the reason you need to dry your hands has nothing to do with netilas yadayim, you dry your hands because it's gross not to. That's not the mitzvah then. The mitzvah is the washing. So when should you have to make the bracha? Before you wash. So I point out to you, that's Rav Shechter's minhag. He makes the bracha before he washes his hands. And that's what the Rambam says also. The Rambam says you make the bracha al netilas yadayim before you wash. Because the niguv is not part of the maisa. And the raya is that when the Rambam, Salvech quotes the raya, is that when the Rambam is magdil the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, he talks about what you do for netilas yadayim. You take a kli, koach gavra, he goes through all the things you need for netilas yadayim, and absent from the list is drying. Not a word about drying. Later on he says, by the way, you shouldn't eat the bread until you dry it up, but when he's magdir, the ikur chiyuv of netilas yadayim, nothing about drying. makes sound like the drawing is not really part of the Netilas Yadayim. Only at the very end of Perek Vav Vilchos Brachos, Halacha Chaf, he mentions, yeah, you can't eat with wet hands. A lot of nafkaminas between the Rambam and Rashi on the one hand versus Tosos on the other. Salvation brings up the nafkamina, what if your hands air dry? So, is that okay? So according to Rashi and the Rambam, yeah, of course it's okay. As long as your bread's not getting gross from wet hands, that's fine. Nothing wrong with air drying. But according to Tosfos, no, the niguv is a chelik of the netila. You need to do a niguv yadayim. So air drying your hands is not good enough. You have to actually do a drying of the hands. Or, nafkamina, what if you put on gloves? You have wet hands and then you put on gloves. Or you hold al yidei davar acher. You hold it with something else. You wash your hands. You sort of dry with. So you hold it with your paper bag or with the plastic bag. Let's say plastic bag, because if it was with the paper bag, you might as well just use that to dry your hands. But with a plastic bag, it's not going to work to dry your hands with a plastic bag. So you hold it with. You hold your little peanut butter and jelly sandwich with your plastic bag, or with the aluminum foil that it came wrapped in. So according to the Rambam and Rashi, because on day, as long as you're not making your bread soaking wet from your hands, that's fine. But according to Tosos, no, you need to do a ma'isav niguv yadayim. You need to do an actual drying of the hands. However, Salvation says this is not 100% convincing. One could also argue that even Rashi holds, like Tosos, that the niguv is a chelek of the netila. Rashi might say that even if the niguv is a chelek of the netila, how does he say? That Rashi would say that the bracha of netila is not chal on the maisa mitzvah, but on the chalos taras hayadayim. Remember we spoke about this at length, about the difference between a mitzvah that's just a maisa and a mitzvah that creates a chalos. And we use that to explain the shitas harayvid by Birchas Harisin, and we used it to explain tevilas hager, that here you have a bracha and a chalos. There aren't very many things that have a chalos. Netilas yadayim does have a chalos, because you have a chalos taras hayadayim. It's not just a mais and mitzvah of netila, but it's mitahir your yadayim. So that's a legitimate chalos. So he says, shitas bahagin Rashi is that you mevarich after tevila in the mikvah, because they were not misakin a birchas tevila on a mais and mitzvah, on the mais and tevila, on the chalos they were misakin it. Right? That's our salvation of Shach Kor Rosa. So you make a bracha afterwards. Same might be true with netila sidayim, that the bracha is. That even if Rashi were to maintain, like the Rambam, that Niguv is not part of the Netila, he still might hold you can make the Bracha after the Netila. That's what he's saying. Still might hold you can make the Bracha. Aye, the Niguv is not part of the Netila, so how can you make it after the Netila? It's not over Las Yasan. It doesn't have to be over Las Yasan if the Bracha was Mesukan on a Chalos. If they were Mesakin the Bracha on a Chalos, it doesn't need to be over Las Yasan. It only needs to be over Las Yasan when they were misaking the bracha on a maisa. Just like by Tevilas Hager, they weren't. The only thing is, what did we say by Tevilas Hager? They weren't misaking on the maisa. Why by Tevilas Hager? Because they couldn't be misaking on the maisa. So they had to be misaking something. So instead, they chose to be misaking on the chalos. We said the same thing maybe by Birchas Erusin. Maybe they couldn't be misaking on the maisa because maybe she'll be chazarba. Maybe she'll run away from the chuppah and she won't take it. So they had to be misakin on the chalos. By Netilas Yadayim, what was stopping them from being misakin on the maisa, on the maisa netila? So you could say, well, if your hands are really bad, if they're full of excrement or something, so then you can't make a bracha. So you can't make a bracha. You need a netila before you make the bracha. So it's like tevilas ger. Or you could say, and Tosfos says this, that we're just not mechalik between netilos and tevilos. The netila is a quasi tevila. And the Tilas Yadayim is like a partial tevila, that just like they made a bracha of tevila on the chalos afterwards, so they send the Tilas Yadayim also afterwards. Why? Just magic? Just throwing the Tilas Yadayim in it? No, because the Tilas Yadayim also has a chalos. So it makes sense that they could have made they could have been misak in the bracha of the Tilas Yadayim on the chalos as well. That is one of Rav Soloveitchik's aros. The big discussion that he has, not really got much time for, the big discussion that he has, though, is trying to explain yeah Well, we got into a little bit of the discussion. There are two other explanations that he has in trying to explain why it is that you would reject the third approach and go with some of the others. Yeah.
Isn't the whole point material so you can eat?
Huh?
So why would the fact that drying your hands in order that you can eat the bread reason that the drying is a part of the material?
Look, you could eat, you could always eat physically, but halachically you have a mitzvah of netilas yadayim because of yadayim shniyos, assuming that your hands have some sort of status of tumah. So halachically they made this mitzvah. The question is, what mitzvah did they make? Did they make a mitzvah of washing your hands, and then obviously any normal human being is going to dry their hands after they wash? It's like when you go to the mikveh, is there a mitzvah to dry off after going to the mikveh? You just dry off after you go to the mikveh because you're wet. What was part of the mitzvah? What wasn't part of the mitzvah? I think that's what it pretty much boils down to. Okay, if you had a chance to look at the other Marmar Kol, good. If not, no. Well, Mitzvah Hashem on Sunday, we'll start the next sugya. If anyone wants to stick around for 10 minute halacha shir, we'll do that too.